We have five trees down, I think. And Brother Fryman, he's church hopping tonight. And but thank you for helping us out today, doing some cutting up of the wood. And if you need help, just let me know. We'll do what we can to help you out. I know there's people who want to help. And just let us know, all right? I want to take you over to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and then Lamentations chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we want to read verse 9. But let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Our Father, we thank you so much again for the privilege to be in the house of God. And what a wonderful time to be together. And we thank you again, Lord, for your goodness to us and your faithfulness and providing for all of us and taking care of us. We pray now you lead us with thy spirit as we consider the word of God and your great attribute of faithfulness. We pray, Lord, for your help to understand these things. And Lord, I just pray you'd fill our hearts tonight with this wonderful thought that God is faithful. And I pray that you'd speak to us in a very real way, and may our faith increase, and may our love for the Lord increase. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandments to 1,000 generations." That is a great, great verse. The faithful God which keepeth covenant. Amen. And then Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Bible says, "It is of the Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Thank you. May be seated. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 6, the Bible says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." And that's true. That was written back in the Old Testament and thousands of years ago. And what a statement to be made. And it's not normal to find faithful men. Man is so unfaithful. Paul penned down in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, and verse 3 and 4, speaking about the last days, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers. He mentions traitors. And that really is our day and age. We could spend the rest of the night and just deal with the three institutions that God created of unfaithfulness, whether it be the family, government, and or the institution of the church. And how many people have been unfaithful in their family responsibility, their roles, let alone morally? And then think about governments who have been unfaithful in taking their constitution or whatever it may be that they operate under. And they've taken those lightly and have been unfaithful to the people that they were elected by or they rule over. And then you find in the New Testament church, how many compromisers have there been down through the ages? I mean, Peter warned us in 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're warned about compromise of men who are unfaithful in Jude and book of Acts. I mean, over and over and over again, we find that where men would be unfaithful to the word of God. But we find the attribute of faithfulness is attributed to God in Deuteronomy 7, 9. The Lord is called the faithful God. And if the Lord was ever once unfaithful, he would not be God. Unfaithfulness is against the nature of God, for he would be denying himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." God's faithfulness has never failed in one instance, at any time, nor will it ever fail, but continue from generation and to evermore. One man said this about the faithfulness of God. He said, "God's faithfulness refers to his self-loyalty of that of his entire creation. He will not change his character nor fail to perform all that he has promised." And you think about God's creation, how vast it is, not just earth, but you think about the universe. And but coming back to earth, if you think about all that God is responsible for, whether it be, the cell all the way to the largest creature, to man, creation itself. And God has been faithful. He has never been unfaithful, never missed anything, never overlooked anything. And that's a wonderful, wonderful characteristic of God, an attribute. So the first thing we see tonight is the declaration of God's faithfulness. A.W. Pink said it this way. He said, everything about God is great, vast, incomparable. He never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits His word. To every declaration of promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. Every enjoyment, or rather engagement of covenant or threatening, He will make good. In Numbers 23:19, we find where God's faithfulness is declared in the Scriptures. Over and over and over again, we find where God declares Himself and also by His people, His faithfulness. God is faithful to all the saints. You think about Abraham, the promise that God made to Abraham about him bearing a child, and him and Sarah bearing a child. And God was faithful. There was Abraham 100 years old and Sarah in the 90s. And even though they waited, God came through and fulfilled His promise just as He said He would. We find that God was so faithful to Joseph. He was Joseph, a faithful man. Sold into slavery, wound up in Potiphar's house. He was pursued by Potiphar's wife, and yet he stood faithful. And yet, next thing you know, he's thrown into jail by false accusations, forgotten. And next thing you know, that God works it out where he rises to the most powerful seat outside of Pharaoh in the Egyptian kingdom. And he is ruling and winds up saving his own family and the nation of Israel. Think about Moses and God's faithfulness in his childbirth, where he should have been put to death. But God spared his life, and not just spared his life, but allowed him to be raised in the household of Pharaoh to enjoy the best of life. And it's just like the Lord to take care of us in such a powerful way. You think about Joshua and God's faithfulness to Joshua and keeping his promise as he followed in the leadership of Moses and took over the rule of Israel, leading them into the promised land. And then think about the Apostle Paul as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy, and this is just, beloved, not even scratching the surface of all of God's people, 2 Timothy 4, all of God's people and all the testimonies that can be given just in the Bible of God's faithfulness. Now notice, please, chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now look at how gracious Paul is. Amen. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And beloved, there's the majority. Amen. And strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. So we find here that Paul, at the close of his life, again points to the faithfulness of God. Second of all, we see the dimension of God's faithfulness to the extent, proportions, or breadth, or scope of God's faithfulness is to all generations from eternity past forevermore. And we see that in the promises of Christ, where God prophesied of the birth of Jesus and that He would come into this life and born and would live a sinless life and fulfill the law. We find that God did all that, again showing His promises that He is faithful to keep every promise. Just as the Bible says time and again, where every jot and tittle will be fulfilled, every punctuation mark, the smallest, the tiniest, will be fulfilled as God has promised. Why? He's faithful, the Bible says. In John 14:3, we find the Lord's promise of His return. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we are, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We find where God is faithful in his dimensions and prophecy and in person. God was faithful in providing us the perfect and only sacrifice, the only payment for our sins. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of his sons. In the place of prophet, priest, and king, Jesus is both Lord and Christ, which seen in these three offices of the great high priest. As a prophet, Christ illuminates our minds. As priest, he gives us peace with God. And as king, he rules our hearts and our will. God is faithful to all the promises that he has promised. And in the position of Christ in our lives because of salvation, we see in the promise of not only Christ, but in creation. Notice in Genesis chapter, let's turn back there for a moment, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. And the Bible says here, and consider this if you would, verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I smite any more anything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now notice what he says here. They're speaking about God's promise to his creation shall not cease. God is faithful. Amen. And then in Matthew chapter 6, you see where God speaks about his creation. And he's speaking about these insignificant animals, insignificant parts of his creation, whether it be the lily of the field or the grass. And he says about how he feeds them and how he clothes them. This is probably hate speech towards the bird and also to the green grass. But the point of this is that God says, if I'm going to take care of things that would seem so insignificant, am I not going to take care of you? Am I not going to provide for you? Am I not going to watch for you? I'm telling you, God is so faithful, and you know that. We find that in every season, God gives his testimony of faithfulness to this world, to his people. We find where in Lamentations, the Bible says his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Which brings a thought to my mind about the verse of scripture that the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it. Regardless of a hurricane or difficult weather, a snowstorm, a rainy season, a dry season. Every day is a day from God, and we ought to recognize his faithfulness. Amen? And you think about this, if you would, just for a moment. Just look back over your life. All the things that could have happened. Now, God has been so faithful to take care of us, to provide for us, to meet our needs. Now, you may say, well, preacher, my needs aren't met. I'm without electricity. How do you know that's not one of your needs? Amen. I mean that. I have to tell you, yesterday, if I can just speak about myself for a moment. Yes, I didn't know what to do. It wasn't frantic or nervous. It was so out of sync. I usually have something going on throughout the day and every day, and there was nothing to do. I looked at the trees a few times that fell, and they're still there. And the lights were still off. And God was so faithful to us to provide everything else that we did need. Amen? And one of the blessings was just running water. You know, people are without water right now. I mean, running water. And yet, anyone here without water? Anyone? What a blessing. Oh, I'm sorry, Gary. You're without water? Well, you have a well, yes? Electric. Yeah. All right. Well, my suggestion would be hold Bing by her ankles and drop her in there with a bucket. I mean, it's just a thought. You don't have to do it. It's just a thought. Anyway. But if you think about most of us. But Gary has water. He just doesn't have electricity to bring it up to his faucet. That's all. But my point is this. God is so faithful to us. Where people have to boil their water because of, you know, all the problems with the flooding and so on. And here we are. God is so faithful to us to meet our needs. And I think there's a couple of things. I think it's a wake-up call to reassess things of what would happen if we did lose electricity permanently. Or things went down. What do I need? to take care of my family. Amen. One thing none of us need is a TV. We all made it so far. I mean, some are shaking a little bit, but you'll get through the withdrawals. Amen. God is so faithful to us to provide. And it's a good respite to have things where you really can't do anything. It really is a blessing. My point is this, is that God is faithful. And also in His promise to His children. Think about this, how much God loves us. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's a wonderful thing to think about, how much God loves not only the world, but loves His own. Loves His children. The Bible says we're the apple of God's eye. The strength of God's love is seen. It's everlasting. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And God's love for man is a love that knows no boundaries. He loves us constantly and completely. And throughout the storm, as dark as was, as uncertain as it may seem, God had everything under control. God had everything under control. Now, I said we had five trees go down our property, but there was two we thought for sure were going to go. And one was, I mean, that far away from the wires of our house. And the other one would have landed on our house. And yet God allowed us to go through that, and they did not fall. God is so faithful, beloved. And we need a rest in that, to understand that God loves us. And whatever comes into our lives, God has designed or allowed it. And He does it for a purpose, for His glory, and to meet our needs. And so be thankful that you serve a faithful God, not one that is out of control or can't control the weather. God had everything under control. Think about the source of God's love. It's His very nature. The Bible says God is love. Everything that happens in our lives in our lives is an expression of God's great love for us. And all the blessings that we have because of Christ Jesus. You think also not of the promise of Christ, the promise of creation, the promise to His children. We find that God is faithful in keeping His children, keeping them saved. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. See, God is faithful in working in His children's lives. In Philippians 2:13, I love this verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. That's how much God loves us. God is faithful in chastening His children. That's a good thing also. Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right and that Thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Hebrews 12:16, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Why? Because God loves us. And He wants to perfect righteousness in our lives. He wants us to be righteous people, godly people. We find that correction comes through private devotion. There are times we're reading the Bible and God gets a hold of our hearts. Speaks to us. Shows us something that we need to correct in our lives. Sometimes it's in our private devotion, it's growing up in the Lord. It's making adjustments, saying, you know, I need to start doing that. Correction comes by preaching. There's times during the preaching, God corrects us, shows us something, sees something in our lives that we need to alter, change, get out of our lives. Sometimes it's purposeful trials that God allows in our lives. This can be considered a trial. But God is taking care of us. Amen. I remember hearing the weather for Tuesday and Wednesday. They said it's going to be a lot of rain. And so, and yet, I don't know where you live, but we didn't have a lot of rain. It rained, but it wasn't that bad. I thank the Lord for that. It would have been far worse. And then correction comes through punishment. Sometimes God does something punitive to us where He corrects us. He if I could say a little bit like this, disables us. Sometimes it's something we broke in our body. Sometimes it's in a sickness. Sometimes it's something that debilitates us to get a hold of our hearts, to wake us up, to slow us down, to get us to reconsider some things. God is able to do that. And He does it all because He loves us. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, God is faithful in keeping his children safe, in chastening his children, faithful in times of temptation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that temptation is common to every man, but God is faithful. He's a faithful God. He loves. He's going to make a way for us to escape, the Bible says. God is faithful also, listen to this now, in answering our prayers. Amen. He's faithful. Psalm 143:1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. God is faithful in answering our prayers. You know, I have to tell you, I was thinking about this, that, you know, it's a good thing. Liz and I used to do this years ago, but we used to keep a little journal of answered prayers. That's a wonderful thing to have, to remind you, because sometimes things are answered and we just move on. And then if you would record it and remember it, you start looking back, oh, God answered that. And I remember when God did this and when God provided that and when God led in this and how God worked the impossible for us in a possible situation. That's a good thing, a book of remembrance, to remember how God has answered our prayers. Challenge us to even pray more. God did it in the past. He did it for me. He can do it again. God answered prayers in the Bible. We see for Old and New Testament saints. God did it for them. God could do it for me. So that's a wonderful thing. And God is faithful in answering our prayers. Not always the way we think He will, but God is faithful. We find that God is faithful also in defending His children. Psalm 89:20, I found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. In my name shall his horn be exalted. So we find here he's faithful to his children. 1 Samuel 12:22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Think about that. Just think that I'm a child of God. What a great privilege. What a great blessing that I would belong to God. I didn't have to go out before the hurricane and dance around or try to get some false God's attention so that he'd spare us or she would spare us. We went before the living God.
Amen.
Amen. The living God, the Most High God. And bring our request to Him who knew exactly what we needed and what we could handle and what He would provide for us. How important that is to realize that God is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. God is faithful to meet their needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then you think about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, think about the term that God uses. He is faithful. He's faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithfulness to forgive and faithfulness to cleanse from all unrighteousness. The faithfulness of God. Even though God is faithful, there are times where we vacillate over trusting God and believing God in His faithfulness. I would venture to say that if I asked for a raise of hands while every head was bowed and very close, and I asked the question, how many were worried during the storm? If people aren't, there would be some hands that would go up. But what was there to worry about? I mean, who else could take care of the hurricane? You worrying didn't change the hurricane. Right? You pacing the floor, looking out the window, wondering, is a house going to collapse? Are we going to be blown away? Are we going to wind up somewhere else? Are we going to be flooded? These things don't serve any purpose whatsoever. It's faithlessness. We need to trust in the living God. And I'm not talking about, you know, make-believe that as long as everything's okay, I trust God. I'm talking about trusting God in good times and bad times, mountaintops and valleys. We need to trust that God is faithful. Arthur Pink said it this way, there are seasons in our lives of all which is not easy, not even for Christians, to believe that God is faithful. Our faith is sorely tried, our eyes dimmed with tears, and we can no longer trace the outworking of His love. Our ears are distracted with the noises of the world, harassed by the atheistic wellsprings of Satan, and we can no longer hear the sweet accents of His still small voice. Cherished plans have been thwarted. Friends on whom we relied have failed us. A professional brother or sister in Christ have betrayed us. We are staggered. We sought to be faithful to God, and now a dark cloud hides Him from us. We find it difficult, yea, impossible, for carnal reasons to harmonize His frowning providence with His gracious promises. Ah, faltering soul, seek grace to heed Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, and walketh in darkness, and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Now, what can we understand or know in this life? Our God said in John 13, 7, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, there's things, beloved, that come in our lives that we don't understand. But if God wanted us to understand it, He would have told us. And it's okay that we don't understand. God still remains faithful. His faithfulness does not change. It's new every morning. And you may be in that situation right now that I just don't understand. But you're not in the situation that Job was in, where he lost everything. Everything. You may have lost the power. You may have lost a satellite or phone working or TV, but the radio, but you didn't lose what Job lost. God never explained it to Job. He just wanted Job to trust him that God is going to be faithful, period. And he can trust God regardless what he went through and regardless what we go through. We've got to trust God. In Hebrews 11:27, the Bible speaking of Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He endured. How did Moses endure as seeing Him who's invisible? See, he saw the Lord. He believed God. He trusted in the Lord. Regardless of the circumstances swirling around him, the threats of Pharaoh, the threats of the Egyptian army, Moses trusted God. If God be for us, who could be against us? All speaking about God's faithfulness. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then also the danger of God's faithfulness. Now, what does that mean? The danger. The danger of God's faithfulness. If you're on the other side and you're not saved, know this, that God is faithful. He's not going to change. Some people have said, well, what if God changes His mind about hell or the lake of fire? God is faithful. If He said it, it's going to come to pass. And how important it is for us to understand that God is not going to change His mind. God tells us throughout His Word, both Old and New Testament, of His faithfulness in punishing those who receive not the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Word of God continually from the Old Testament through the New warns us of God's hatred of sin, of evil, and His need of justice to punish it. God is a just God. You may say, well, I was planning on getting saved. I like to be saved. I was hoping to be saved. Beloved, if you miss salvation, you die without Christ, you miss the rapture, there's no blind eye from God. God is going to follow through with everything He has promised. You think about Pharaoh. How God kept His word through the man Moses, and Pharaoh wound up along with the Egyptian army, wound up being defeated. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Think about how they rose up against God-ordained authority. And God kept His word. He judged them and their families. You think about Achan. God promised to judge those who would steal anything from Jericho after God decimated that city. He said, don't touch anything. And Achan took a Babylonian garment and a piece of gold, and God judged him and his whole family. Think about Ahab and Jezebel, how they rose up against God and God's ordained authority. And we find here that God punished these unrepentant sinners. Understand, here's what the Bible says about God. He's a consuming fire. He's faithful. He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's a long-suffering God. And yet He's also a faithful God in the sense of faithful to His Word. And if you reject Christ, you don't bow your heart to Christ, you don't repent, you don't believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God will keep His word. The Bible warns us in Matthew 3, verse 7, through the voice of John the Baptist, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you, listen now, to flee from the wrath to come. How important that is to understand. Flee. Not just flee anywhere, but flee to God. Flee to the refuge of your soul. Flee to the Savior. Flee to the Lord. Now, if God, not if God's wrath is coming, but flee from the wrath to come. You don't know when this is all going to be done. It may be tonight. It may be this week. It may be this month. It may be before the year's out. We don't know. And that's why it's so important to come to Christ as God prompts your heart. Samantha was saved Sunday night. And I had no idea. I preached on patrol, as you know. And I went outside and Ken said to me, he said, Samantha, I'd like to talk to you. So I'm thinking, all right, it's probably something to do with patrol, you know. And I went in the blue room, sat down with her, and she said, I'm so tired of being separated from God. What a great... I mean, she had weighed that out. She knew that she was separated from God. Now, we understand that God's wrath to come will be by fire. Hellfire and then the lake of fire. And there's nothing as intolerable and devouring, as merciless as fire. Fire is no respecter of persons. We find the first separation from God and then eternal fire in the lake which burns with fire. But understand this tonight. As much as God is faithful to His creation, faithful to His Word, faithful to His institutions, He is faithful to His children. He is also faithful to the promises to those who are lost. And you say, oh, preacher, you give me something to think about. That's not why I said it. I said it for you to repent tonight and to come to Christ. For you not to go on another moment without Jesus. And here's what you need to do to be saved tonight. You need to acknowledge what you are. A sinner. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how bad a sin I am. May I say this? I've been saved 36 years. I don't know how bad a sin I am. I knew I was a sinner enough to need Jesus. And He's the one who told me that. He said that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short. See, I understood that. I understood that. I knew I was a sinner. I was a sinner by my thoughts, well, by my birth, by my thoughts, and by my actions. You didn't have to convince me. I knew I was wrong. I had broken all 10 commandments. If you just think about those 10 commandments and see how you've broken them all. I mean, God tells us we're lawbreakers. And that should cause us to consider our condition. Number two is you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the only Savior, both Lord and Savior, the Bible says. Both Lord and Christ. And He's your only hope. And so He invites you to trust Him, to believe on Him, to rest in Him, to turn to Him from your idols. And trust in the living God. And then third of all, you've got to call on Him. You don't have to ask Him to save you. You've got to receive the gift of eternal life. You've got to call on Him, acknowledge what you are. Express to Him your faith in Christ. And then receive the engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. And receive the gift of salvation. And thank Him for it. It is that simple, my friend. It is that simple. And understand this. It doesn't matter if you attended the service here since you were born. It doesn't matter if you were raised in church. It doesn't matter if you've been raised in the Christian school. If you're lost, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't come to Christ. God's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who we think we are or who we may be. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unless we are forgiven, we'll be damned forevermore. So I trust the message has helped you tonight to remind you of God's faithfulness and to rejoice in Him. Praise Him for His faithfulness. Be conscientious to do those things, thanking God. But the other thought is this tonight, Understand that God is also faithful in His punishment. Not only for the unsaved here, but beloved, think about all the unsaved people we know that have yet to come to Christ. And that's why we need to have tracts on this. That's why we need to look for opportunities to talk to people about their souls. To try to reach people with the gospel of Christ. To try to help people to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how important it is that we are sincere and serious about our evangelism. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. And I want to give an invitation tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved and you've been born again and you want to come and pray and worship God.